Appreciate how God has helped and blessed. Good to be back with you. The man said in this evangelistic campaign meeting, praise God. And looking forward to what God is going to do, how God's going to help us and each night. And appreciate our pastor inviting me to come back and be in service with you. I've been looking forward to it so much, been praying much about it, believing God to have his way. Good to see his parents tonight. We've come to love them and appreciate them, preached them a few meetings through the years. We've had fellowship, and her parents were always so faithful to back me. I'm telling you, if I was anywhere close by, were always faithful to come and help me out. And so we certainly appreciate that. I appreciate the room we have over there and all the goodies. I'm telling you what's the truth. That's worth the drive out here just to get that. Praise God. But the offering, the Lord bless you so much for the offering tonight. And we appreciate that. We ready to go? Wonderful. All right. Thank you, sir. I want to go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, and I preached hundreds and hundreds of revivals and meetings through the years, and preached them enough to know that before you know it, you know, you start a service, have a service, and the next thing you know, you're right at Friday night, and it's all over with. I've come on business, I'll be frank with you. I didn't come to play. I've had many revivals in churches that I've pastored, and I've always wanted those that I've had to come and preach for me, to give it 100%. And I promise you, by the help of God, I'm going to give it 100%. I'll be praying, I'll be seeking God, trying to find the mind of God, trying to find the will of the Lord on what God wants me to say, and then what God does not want me to say. I want to know the will of God. But I tell you what I have prayed this afternoon. I prayed that God would show me the hearts and lives of men and women in this service. I want to know. I want the Holy Ghost to talk to me. I want the gifts of the Spirit to operate. I want the word of knowledge to operate. I want God to move in this house. I want God to stir us. I want God to shake us and get hold of us in this service tonight. The book of Genesis, chapter number 6. We'll read a few verses there and then go to chapter number 7. Genesis, chapter number 6. We'll read verse 13. And 14. When you have it, say amen. And the Lord said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. Chapter number 7, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Verse number 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse number 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And may God help me and anoint me here tonight. You may be seated if you'd like. I want to talk to us tonight on, I want to look at the warnings that this man of God presented, the warning signs that God had spoke. Our pastor made mention earlier tonight concerning about things that warnings that are taking place in the hour that we're in. But I want to go back tonight to this man of God, the warnings that God had him to present and preach to those in his day. Warnings of the Bible are full of mercy as its invitations and promises that God always deals righteously with his children. The way of sin is made hard and dark and full of trouble, while the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So therefore, God sends us warnings, and God lets us know that this is going to occur, that's going to occur. You know that we have the warning signs, the yield, the stop signs, the workers. I know that coming over on the interstate today, there on Interstate 20, a lot of work going on, and blue lights flashing and letting me know, slow down. You know, if not, you're going to get a blue light special, a man said. So therefore, the warning signs are there. Warning signs are put there and let us know to stop, to take heed of that is going on and that is taking place. But again, God gave warnings in days gone by. God had this precious man, and he ministered the word of God and warned them, take heed to what's taking place. One man said, men do not come to the end of a sinful way without being warned of the results of it. I agree with that with 199%. God will warn a person. God will let a person know, I need to turn my life over to God. I need to submit everything unto God. How many times tonight the majority of people that got saved and saved in this service tonight, there are very few that ever got saved the first time they went to the house of God. The majority of time they heard the warnings, they heard about destruction, they heard about the love of God, peace of God, and etc. They heard about the warnings of hell and then the splendor of heaven, and something pulled upon their heart and pulled upon their soul. So therefore we find this man of God, Noah, a man, a preacher of righteousness. You know, God had determined the destruction was going to take place. You know, the Bible tells us, and God saw, won't you notice this, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of thoughts in his heart was on evil continually. That is the hour that we're in today. I mean, so much ungodliness, so much sin. I mean, we could just tear out right here and preach us a message on pure vanilla, blue ribbon wholeness right here. But I'm telling you, sin is rampant, sir. Sin is on the rampage tonight. Things that are taking place. Things that are coming out. It amazes me. And I'll make this statement. It amazes me how that there are those that are coming out of the closet, if you will. And I would to God we'd had some preachers that come out of the closet. I said, I would to God tonight we'd have some preachers to come out of the closet and begin to proclaim the whole counsel of God, like some of these are coming out and proclaiming the hellish, ungodly, damnable thing that they're involved in. Thank you. We're living in a time, sin tonight, so much destruction. And God reached a point, and God saw that, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There is a point in time, sir, that God says, it's enough. There come to a point in time God said to this, the many, I don't know, it's been estimated some 8 million people on the face of the earth at that time. I do not know. But yet God reached a point and said, it's enough. God reached a point and said, I have reached the hilt with you. See, there's times that God says to that individual, as he begins to deal with that soul, there's a time that God said, I've dealt with you. I've pulled upon your heart, sir. I'm telling you, there's times that God says, don't pray for this man anymore. No more. There's three people that God spoke to me and told me, said, don't ever pray for them again. One of them's already in hell. Two are on their way to hell. Are you listening to me? I never will forget of how that I was in service, and prayer requests were given. And in the process of that prayer request being given, a certain man's name was mentioned. And I knelt down, Pastor, and as I knelt down, I began to pray about the many names. And I formed that man's name on my lips, and the Holy Ghost rebuked me and said, I told you, don't ever pray for him again. He's in hell just as much tonight as he will be in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now, in 30 years from now, how long it may be. God said, my spirit shall not always strive. My spirit shall not always deal. The time that God said, that's it. A time when God said, this limit. No, hear me tonight. So we find this man preached 120 years. This man preached the Word of God. Don't you notice something here in passing tonight? I want you to allow me. As I begin to look concerning Noah, this preacher, and I looked at the Jonah, and just looking at them and how it would run parallel. And this man, Jonah, don't you notice this? Jonah didn't want to preach. The Bible tells us in the Word of God at how that he fled from the presence of the Lord. He did not want to do what God had spoke to him to do. He fled from the presence of the Lord. But there came a time that, you know the story like I do, God got his attention. I said God got his attention. God caused a whale to come and swallowed him. And you know the story like I do. And the Bible said, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. What are you trying to say? I'm thinking he's in the fish's belly, but yet he said, cried from the belly of hell. Could I tell us tonight, anywhere out of the will of God is a belly of hell? Say amen. I said, anywhere out of the will of God, anywhere running from the presence of God is crying from the belly of hell. And God got him to a place, sir, and said, you're going to do what I tell you. You're going to preach what I tell you to preach. I mean, somebody may get mad and quit paying their tithes. Somebody may get mad and drag up and go to some other church. But you're going to preach what I tell you to preach. Say amen. And he went and preached. I love this. I love it. And the Bible tells us that Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. A day's journey, 25 miles. I'm telling you, Nineveh, 75 miles across, brother. That's an exceeding great city. 75 miles across. And the Bible tells us that Jonah, when God got his attention, I'm telling you, he walked 25 miles and said, I've got a message to preach. It's only an 8-word message. Not going to last long. Just an 8-word message, but I'm telling you the unction of it, the power of it, and the spirit that the man delivered it in. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There was repentance that came. I'm telling you, fasting came, sir. They realized this man has come with a message, and this is what I want to show us here. Hear me tonight. In chapter number 4, verse number 11, hear it. And I shouldn't, and speaking to Jonah, God spoke to Jonah. He got upset about a gourd. I said, got upset about his shade getting took away from him. Help me while I preach. It's funny how preachers get upset over little things, isn't it? I mean, get disturbed over little things. I mean, simply because they lost their shade. Smile a while and give your face a rest. Huh? And he said, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Won't you listen here? That man preached. God spared it for the preaching, yes. God spared it for the fasting, yes. God spared it because people repented, yes. But the main reason, sir, he said there's 120,000, more than 120,000 children there. There's more than 120,000 children. And God said, if I destroy this place, more than 120,000 children are going to die. And if you told that up, if you will, we figure somewhere between 600,000 and 700,000 people. But God said, because of the children, listen to me, because of the children, more than 120,000 children, I'm not going to destroy that place. Jesus said, bring these children to me. Forsake not these little children here. Forbid them not, rather. Let me come. Let me hold them. I'm telling you, it's always touched me of how the Lord would reach and take one of those children and set a child upon his knee when his disciples, they did not have a heart of love, a heart of compassion like Christ did. Hear me. The Bible tells us in the Word of God, listen, that baby makes a difference. I said that baby makes a difference. The Bible said an Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah. Enoch wasn't walking with God until that baby was born. Listen to me. Enoch was not walking with God, sir, until Methuselah was born. But after that, he began to walk with God. Thank God. Don't tell you that baby will turn things around. I heard Brother B.H. Clendenin say, when his son was born, he said, I held that baby up and said, dear God, I'm going to live for you. I don't want him to know sin like I knew sin. I'm telling you, sir, I've seen it happen time and time and time again. I've had hard men. I tell you, I've had hard men, wicked men, ungodly men, that I've stood with them there outside when their wife would give birth to a precious child. And when that baby was born, I've seen them turn around and say, you know, I'm going to live right from here on out. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to serve God. I don't want my boy to know the hell that I knew. How many tonight have said, you know, my son made the difference concerning my life and how it was in my life. And this man preached. Hear me tonight. Hear me. I make a statement. I make a statement that tonight we wonder if those in the day of Noah had repented like those concerning Jonah, maybe the flood would have never occurred. If they would only had listened. It's amazing, isn't it, how that some take heed and then some won't. Hear me. You know, some have said that Noah was unsuccessful. Suppose he was an unsuccessful preacher because of the hundreds and perhaps thousands that he preached to. He got his family in. Thank God. That is success. I said he got his family in. Thank God of heaven. I love this. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Bring your family on with you, son. Thank God. Bring your wife. Bring your daughters. Thank God, your son-in-law. Bring them on in. I'm telling you, oh God, tonight. How many tonight? I've got a son that's away from God tonight. I want to be a successful preacher. Oh, God, help me. Say amen. Oh, hear me, beloved. I mean to tell you, tonight was this man successful? Yes. I said the man was successful. He got his family in. He lived the life before them. And we're living that life. Therefore, by faith, preacher man, we must have faith enough by God and by the grace of God. God, you're going to bring them in. My son is away from God tonight. Sister MacDonald walked out of the house and saw a certain plant there, one been 2 or 3 years ago, in the beginning of spring, of how that had died throughout the winter months. And she looked down at it and saw it begin to bloom and come out again. And the Holy Ghost moved on her and said, just as sure as that plant, I gave it life. I said, one day your son is going to have life. Thank God. Come on. I'm telling you tonight, I must have faith. I said, I must have faith tonight. I must believe God. Noah preached. He preached righteousness. He preached righteousness. Here's what I want to talk to us about tonight. Helping build the ark and not getting in. Helping build the ark, but not getting in the ark. How many had heard this man preach? How many had helped him build that ark? How many had been there when the keel was laid, sir? You know, Noah had to have some American money, some type of money. Not everybody just came up and said, you know, we're gonna help you build this ark. Great God, you can't hardly get anybody to sweep the floor in the church without paying them. Smile a while. You can't hardly. I've seen a time, brother. Amen. I'd see them pass over, you know, a piece of paper laying there. And they pass by the dozens. And I'd finally say, Russell, why don't you go ahead and pick that up? Noah, listen to it. How many, I want you to stay with me here. How many that were there, 120 years went by. 120 years. And I want you to stay with me here. How many that worked for 10 years? How many worked for 20 years? How many, if we tonight, if you will allow me, the Bible I've read to you concerning about imagination, and one man said the imagination is the biggest nation in the world. Say amen. But I want to use my imagination tonight. I want to use my imagination tonight. How many that are in hell tonight that maybe a conversation comes up and they begin to talk about Noah? They begin to speak about Noah. And one of them says, yes, I remember I remember at the times, I couldn't tell you at the times, I went out and worked on that ark. I worked for him, I believe it was 60 years that I worked on that ark. There wasn't a day that went by that Noah didn't preach to me. There wasn't a day that went by that he did not talk about a flood's coming one day, a flood's going to come. And then maybe someone else, you know, they said, well, I worked a little while, but you know, I just got fed up with hearing it. I got tired of hearing the man preach. I got fed up with the preaching, and I didn't want to go back. I just got tired of it day in and day out. But yet, listen to me tonight, church, and maybe we hear someone else, and they're over there, and they're saying these words. You know, what are you talking about? We're talking about Noah. I was there. I was there. You were? Yes. I don't remember seeing you. I was one of the thousands that came and helped. I was one of the thousands that came. What part did you do? Oh, I pitched it on the inside. I put the pitch on the inside. Are you listening to me? I had an opportunity to be on the inside and put the pitch. Great God of heaven. Woo! I had an opportunity to be on the inside before the flood ever came. And another says, I pitched it on the outside. You did what? Yes, I did. You believe what that man said? Well, I didn't believe what he said. I wasn't worried about, you know, I didn't think it was going to ever rain like he said. And therefore, I wasn't concerned. All I was concerned about Friday and getting payday. That's all I was concerned about. And, you know, on and on and on and on and on. Hear me, beloved. How many are sitting in our churches tonight? How many that are sitting there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they have helped in the offering? They've helped by the church. They've helped by the pews. They've helped the evangelist. They've took care of the pastor and his wife. But yet I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to get into the ark. I pastored on that coast a total of 2 different churches, some 33 years. And I speak of the fool, I pastored hundreds in 33 years, sir. I'm telling you, I've been there, son. I mean, I've dedicated their children. I performed weddings and dedicated their children. And on and on and on and on and on. I've been there when they prayed as many as 20 and 30 at a time. I've been there when the Holy Ghost fell. But tonight, amen, there's not many days, sir. Not many days that I go and go uptown at somewhere in a business that I don't see somebody at one time that I pastored. I don't see somebody at one time that I baptized them in water. I don't see somebody at one time that I mean that I watch and run the aisles and worship and praise and glorify God. They helped build the ark, but they didn't get in the ark. I built the rooms. And here, listen. And then someone says, you put the pitch on it? Yes. You laid the keel? Yes. And one speaks up and says, I watched Noah and his family go in. Great God. I watched them as they walked up the gangplank. I stood there with literally thousands for 7 consecutive days. And I saw Noah and his family inside that ark. And we'd look and say, well, what are they doing? Why don't they come on out? The old man missed it. The old preacher missed it. It's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. But hear me, beloved. After 7 days, listen, after 7 days, they had gone in and the Lord shut him in. They're there by the thousands. And this man says, there was Noah nor his sons. They did not have a rope or a chain, if you will, to pull that gangplank up. And we're standing there. And about that time, it begins to rise up by itself. And we watch it as it was shut. And the moment it was shut, we heard something we'd never heard in our life before. Thunder. And then lightning. And then rain. And then the dams begin to break. And the water begin to gush up out of the earth. I saw it all. And I'm in hell tonight to remember that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You sit here in the house of God tonight. Hear me. Am I still as dedicated to God as I was at one time? Do I still have the zeal to love, worship, and glorify God like I did at one time? Judas. If you will allow me here. Somehow, I've always felt sorry for him. I mean, it's been preached time and time again. He kissed the doorway of heaven and went to hell. I mean, he broke bread with him. He was one of his. At the great white throne judgment, not one child of God would be there. Ever Hitler, ever Mussolini. I believe he's a God of an alphabet. Judas is scared. You helped build my church, in essence, but you lost out. Depart from me, your work of iniquity, I never knew you. Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved this present world. John 6 and 66. In essence, they received a type of the mark, if you'll allow me there. For the Bible said many of his disciples from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You're sitting in this house tonight. Do you have it like you used to have it? Is there zeal in your soul to pray and fast and seek God like it was one time? When the last time you pulled down heaven and cast out hell? How long's it been, Mama, since they come in, your children came in, caught you walking through the house speaking in tongues? How long's it been, Daddy, since they caught you with your head down in that blessed book? You know, I've been a part of the church here ever since day one. Yeah, but are you going to go when he comes? Listen, I love you as much as I love my own soul tonight. I want you to think about it. Am I where I need to be with God? Am I living like God wants me to live? Am I living? Should the trump of God sound now? Am I living? Should God dispatch, as he did in Columbus, Mississippi, many, many years ago, as a precious deacon came, sir, a man that loved God, came in them altars and was praying. People began to go back, and he just lingered. Finally, the pastor sensed something's wrong and walked over to him and laid his hand on him, and he'd slipped out to his long home. If God dispatched a death angel tonight, are you ready to meet God? Hey, I put money in the church. I didn't ask you that. I'm singing in the church. I'm one of the most faithful members of you. Are you right with God? God, tonight I'm asking you, oh God, deal with men and women in this house. Deal with every soul in this house tonight, Jesus. You see the heaviness, God, upon me, been on me all day long as I travel, God, hundreds of miles. I'm asking you tonight, God of heaven, that when it's cold, that when it's not praying like they used to pray, I pray tonight, God, you deal with that sinner that's sitting here tonight, God, has come and sat, God, and heard the word of God time and time and time again, God, from this precious preacher and others. They're not ready to meet God. I pray Holy Ghost conviction, deal with them. Get them in this altar tonight, God, that they'll find eternal life, and ask it in Jesus' name. I want you to stand with me all over the house tonight. Hear me, saith the Lord. I know your down sittings. I know your uprisings. I know the very hair that's in your head. I know it all. And I know tonight there are those that are here. You're not ready. You don't have the zeal that you one time had. You don't have the determination that you one time had. You don't love me like you used to love me. And I call you to repentance. I call you to a rededication tonight, saith the Lord. I want you to look at me. Pastor, if it's all right, no guitar playing, no singing tonight. The Holy Ghost said, a rededication. You put any name tag on you want to tonight. Any name tag you want. But tonight, God, I'm going to rededicate. I'm going to recommit. I'm going to get where I used to be. There's room tonight, ever how we do it, sir. You brethren all the way up on the rostrum if you want to. I'm asking you, you're in this house, you're lost. You're lost, you're in this house tonight. We're not here. We're not here tonight. Thank God to judge by no means, but I know what the Holy Ghost dealt with me. Here I am, God. Forgive me where I failed you. Here I am tonight, God. Forgive me, Lord, for my lethargy. Forgive me, God, for my not being committed like I was at one time. How long's it been since we prayed an hour? How long has it been? Oh, God, forgive me where I failed you, God. God, I put money in the church. I help do, but Lord, I'm not where I used to be. Oh, God.